Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Rampage, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT Dubai. Pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a Money Go Quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, they're joined by Hamflett and Sidgwick to look ahead to Dynamite tonight and a stacked card, Sidge, featuring a Kenny Omega dream match.
Oh, cannot wait for this. Goes without saying, it's going to be absolutely tremendous. So much so that, like, I'm an anxious guy generally, and I have this stupid part of me where if I look forward to something, that means it's not worth looking forward to and something's going to go wrong. So I'm really invested in this because, like, Kenny Omega's my favorite wrestler of all time. I think he's the best wrestler of all time if you want to try and use objective metrics to try and nail down something that's entirely subjective, whatever. Like, I want this to just go nicely for him. I really do. If you're not familiar with El Hijo del Vikingo's work, the Viking's son is what it translates to. He is this blow away incredible. How is it possible to manipulate your body in the way that you do it with such precision timing to do these incredibly spectacular moves? That combined with Kenny Omega's ability to thread a match and to just cram in so much pulsating drama, never at the expense of selling, never at the expense of what feels like a real struggle, like these incredible moments of the match is over. No, it isn't. The idea of Kenny Omega's strain of drama against Vikingo's strain of athleticism and spectacle and agility is just, this promises the world. But as I was saying, I'm very anxious. The thing about Vikingo is that, if you're not familiar with him as well, is that he's an incredibly ambitious professional wrestler. So much so that a lot of what he does, I don't think he himself is quite nailed down yet. I think as spectacular as he is, he's genuinely, like, awesome in the strictest definition of that word, where he inspires awe, but he's so ambitious and he's got such a goal in mind to do the most mind-blowing stuff that shouldn't be possible, that he can, on occasion, telegraph what he does. He can at times hesitate on the top rope, or that, what's the thing called that connects the turnbuckle to the post?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Whatever it's called.
Gimmick.
Yes. He can sometimes be a little bit unsteady on his feet before he does that, and at times it can break the immersion because it looks like someone's waiting for him to steady himself to then take the move. You'd think if there's anyone in the world who, and Lucha Libre in itself can stretch some Western fan, well, American wrestling fans' suspension of disbelief as well. So there is that potentially working against it in terms of the crowd reaction, but they should go ballistic for this. But yeah, there can be moments of hesitation, and there can be moments, not botches per se, but those little glitches where you're just kind of taken out of it. So the worst case scenario is that this is a spectacular, like, brain-melting match that sometimes you can see the wires. The very best version of this is one of the best TV matches ever. Like a nerd, I have fantasy booked spots He does this incredible... It's weird to compare Vikingo to Sol Ruka from NXT. But you know the inverted flip that she does to get the Soul Snatcher? He does that and goes into a reverse Rana.
Ooh.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, I think I've seen this and gone, how's he done that? How do you do it?
Like, how do you do that? So I want Kenny Omega to watch him do that, take a reverse Rana, right? And then minutes later, Vikingo goes for it again. A recovered Omega takes one step back. Vikingo lands from his feet from this ridiculous acrobatic inverted move. And then when Kenny takes a step back, Snapdragon on the outside.
Oh, my God.
Vikingo, we will see a table here. And it will not be a no disqualification match, but they'll just...
Hang on.
Oh, they always do it the wrong way.
We're going to do it anyway.
Sometimes AEW does this, and I don't mind at all. It's been 4 years. Get over it. They're just like doing this ECW bit of leniency where Kenny Omega will be propped up on a table on the outside, and Vikingo will run from one set of ropes to the other, step up on the middle rope, somehow manage to do like a 630 and then a frog splash.
Oh my God.
It's like the best version of this match is incredible, but I do worry that it's a new ring and, you know, this guy is so committed to doing insane new things that sometimes he's not quite as clean.
Upper height.
Sometimes it's not quite as clean and as sort of seamless as the Twitter MP4s that are carefully edited to showcase the very best of what he can do. The reality when he watches matches is that sometimes it's not quite as seamless. Kenny to go over, if this doesn't open the rest of the card, no matter how cool it looks, there's a lot of cool stuff on here. I'm just going to be worried that they're going to be short for time and not get the time that they can have because this could be an absolute classic of a match, and I'm so glad it's happening.
The only thing I'd add to what you said is the excitement, not just around this match, but it being, I mean, it's probably, then you're never 100%, but a far closer to 100%, Kenny, than if we'd have got this match 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, whatever it would be.
It looks like Kenny is just getting better and sort of calloused with every single appearance. It feels like he's approaching his very, very, very best form. Like some of his recent performances have been blown away by the way he moves around in there. And his mind just gets sharper and sharper as well. So, yeah, this should be absolutely awesome. I can't wait for it. But I'm going to be scared for that the entire show. I'm going to have to watch it twice, not to be a baby, and just enjoy it the second time without being scared about my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, there's a weird part of me that is also really looking forward to when this is over. Because then, like you say, you can enjoy it in and of itself. And that discussion, which I promise we won't go back to. We said we weren't going to talk about it on the Rampage, and then we ended up talking about it for 10 minutes, ranting about these idiots. Oh, I don't know who he is. This video package, and internet's right there. You open a tab next to fucking Twitter, you knobhead. Sorry to do this. You got this. I'm going to get your thoughts on it, of course, in a second. You've got a grudge match. You've got a tag title match. You're going to potentially find out who Adam Cole's going to return to the ring against next week, for example. You've got a party match. Is tonight the night you're breaking out the cereal?
Maybe.
Oh, don't, man.
I'm so sorry. Nah, Cedric's invented this hex. I used to stay up for Dynamite all the time in 2021 in the summer when it was absolutely class all the time. And there's been loads of Dynamites. I've gone to bed at like 10 o'clock on the night and woken up and been like, hey, it's Dynamite. And then by an hour and a half in, I'm like, this was a waste of my time. It's nonsense.
I don't think Michael Hamflick dictates the quality of the shows.
I don't think me staying up late is going to somehow place a curse on Kenny Omega having his first singles match. Hey, man, respected wrestling journalist Ryan Satin was right.
My missus can control the Newcastle score as well.
Yeah, by like what time she checks it or something like that. Yeah.
I refuse to go on the Chesterfield Twitter if we're in injury time, because as soon as I press refresh on that, it's going to say goal and then whatever team we're playing.
If I can't watch for whatever reason the game, I have to check, converse to you, I have to check Twitter before BBC. We always score if I check Twitter first.
Wow.
I used to have a thing about not being able to like unfold my arms at the match if we were like 1-0 up. But like, well, I'm watching and we're 1-0 up. So if I now move, like we've scored. So like if I now move, then that's on me.
It's weird. I'm so much calmer watching it live than I ever am on TV. because they've got this way of filming football.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where it just
you're not
feels,
allowed to breathe.
Yeah.
Ball goes out and it's like, here's a replay of what you've just missed. And
it's just so much, I'm always so much more relaxed watching it live. Because you know where they're in position.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know that they've neutralized or like preempted where the threat's coming.
That's the worst, isn't it? When the opposition are breaking down the right wing, you're like, well, no worries. Here comes the left back. Where's the left back? What's going on? Where's everyone gone?
Every chance on the radio is a goal.
Yeah.
I can't listen. Football never, on the radio is like just horrendous. Every chance is a goal.
Thankfully, Chelsea will never play on the radio, so we're all good.
Yeah, no, in terms of like Vikingo, the only spot, I mean, since we talked about this earlier in the week, I want a ramp Dynamite, a platform ramp, because he does this incredible, you know, Kenny's V-trigger against Brighton, or to a lesser extent, the one where he came from the tunnel on Ray Phoenix.
Yes.
So it's just where there's like so much room to run that he revs up this V-trigger and it's like harder than ever. Vikingo does this. It's like a, I don't know what, you would springboard in, but it feels different when it's a platform ramp because you're not jumping on the ropes. There's no like acai springboard element of it. But he springs over the ropes and somehow fits a full rotation in before he lands with a bleh splat, you know, like the Solomon Crowe one.
Yeah.
Bleh, but he's already done a spin before that. The run-up of the Dynamite platform ramp would be incredible. And then, to your point, when he tries to do it again, the camera's tighter in on him, and you haven't seen that Kenny Omega's gotten up.
Yes.
So he goes for it a second time. Smash, V-trigger.
V-trigger.
Counter. Yeah.
In the face.
Any of that'll
in
do.
In the face.
Right in your face. Yeah. Saturn was right. He would just pick the wrong match. He did say that going like that long with Alan Angels on TV would ruin Kenny Omega. And it turns out it did, because that was the last singles match with him like in November 2021. I feel like I've waited that long, even longer. Battle cry. Like, I'm excited for the idea of a Kenny Omega singles match as much as I am this specific Kenny Omega singles match. It's so cool. It's a dream match because it's Kenny Omega. It's just him on the graphic. That's why it's a dream match.
Yeah.
Two more points. One thing, I really feel like there's been a narrative shift discourse that I think everyone realized when he was out as long as he was, that everyone just kind of realizes how great he is and that he's genuinely missed more than people anticipated, because I rarely see it. There are idiots who hate everyone good because they're idiots, but there are people I've noticed who I follow who are quite prominent in the online wrestling space, I guess, who are just like, Kenny should have this dream match, he should have this match, or he should break away from the books. I think a lot of people are really starting to receive Kenny Omega as the legend in his own time that he is. One more thing. I mentioned this, on the Rampage preview, or review, sorry. Kenny Omega has wanted this match for like 18 months.
Mm.
In his passing thoughts, when he's realised, oh, you know, it's getting closer, we can probably get Vikingo in March. He's probably right, okay, he wants to do this spot, he wants to do this story beat. He's been putting this together in his head for ages. And when Kenny Omega's got when he's got a day to put something together, he produces magic. When he has a lot of time to really put something together in his head, it's seminal territory.
Does he go for the buckshot, or does Vikingo go for it and does he duck it and counter it or something like that? Is that factored in? Because we're in week one now of new Kenny Hangman tension. There was the being the elite, Kenny left the group chat bit.
Could do a buckshot V-trigger.
Yeah.
Ooh.
V triggers Vikingo out the air when he attempts a buckshot. Something along those lines, just to kind of, to your point about like, what can you put in there that is going to matter beyond this match?
I think that this exists. One, because Vikingo is available. Why wouldn't you do it? Two, Tony Schiavone could do a post-match interview. So this might open if my fantasy booking goes ahead. And Callis comes to ringside from commentary, and Schiavone could say something like, well, you've won, and that was great. Do you see yourself getting back into singles action? And then Callis could shut the conversation down and say, no, we'll talk about this privately or whatever. There'll be some kind of hook that'll make you intrigued about what Kenny Omega does next week.
Also got a tag title match, the Guns versus Top Flight, after bag shenanigans on Rampage. How do you see this one going?
Terrible setup. You've got two green teams working against one another. That sometimes is asking for botches. That's sometimes asking for or risking the two teams to be on completely different wavelengths. There could be moments where they get lost. This could be a total over-delivery. Look, Bret Hart was amazing. Look at Bret Hart's 1995, and that's what a champion is, apart from a guy who draws. Taken just a bunch of people, some of whom in terrible gimmicks, some of whom weren't good wrestlers, and some of whom weren't over, and give them all just great, completely different matches. That's what a champion can do. A champion needs to be trusted to sort of be worthy of the prestige of the title, to feel like a champion, to do the job of a champion, like the old Ric Flair thing of, I'll have a great match with anyone. That's why you've given me this. This will be a test for the guns, because if they don't do that, why have they got these belts? Met a pissy heat. Not for me. Not for me, Jim.
No, I
can't see this going particularly well.
I don't think it'll go well, but I don't think it'll go long, and that might help it out. I think it's a weird novelty still that the guns are defending the titles in a, like a straight-up tag match. The pay-per-view match felt by design some sort of way to cover up the fact that the guns are still champions. Oh, you're throwing three teams out there. Look at them instead. Like, forget about it. They didn't even attempt to make the tag title match feel prestigious. It wasn't a bad bit of booking in the end, ultimately. Like, that became one of the ways to give the crowd a bit of a breather. Like, it helped in terms of structuring that card. But we can't shy away from the fact that that wasn't its only purpose. It was to hide the fact that you have put the belts on one of the weaker teams in the entire division. Top Flight, I don't know, like, will it even scan as that impressive if they do all their cool flying and flipping and it amounts to them getting beaten anyway? Like, I think that's maybe like, you're just maybe assuming that people are so excited for the high spots that they're not going to mind when there's some blatant cheating or some pulling the tights or a roll up.
Does this have to go on before Vikingo Kenny then?
I think it might. I think you might have to main event with Vikingo Kenny, but I'm not against it because Vikingo's such an amazing Twitter GIF aficionado wrestler anyway, that like very brief clips as you bring the graphic back up, coming out later tonight, Kenny Omega back in singles action against Vikingo. There's a quick flip. Oh my God. I've got to stay tuned for this in the main event. I don't think that's the worst way to build that on the night as well. But certainly in terms of not being able to follow it, yeah?
Yeah.
Obviously, we all agree that the guns retain here through shenanigans. Big Rig to win it?
I don't hate that at all.
No. Two green teams paying tribute to the third green team, of course, the Turtles, whatever the hell they were called when they won those Triple A titles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Los... Super Ranas?
Yeah, it was rubbish, wasn't it?
Like the Super Frogs?
Yeah, Super Frogs.
I was trying to low-cost Ranas, but that's the Crazy Frogs.
Yeah.
That's not what they were. It was Lost Super Ranas.
Yeah, that's correct. Let's talk about this grudge match tonight, Sige. John Moxley, who's gone bad, versus Stu Grayson, who's got it going on, apparently, I've heard.
No, you've heard it because you said it, dickhead.
That's why he played it before this podcast, because he needed to say that.
Intricate. Set up of the podcast.
Punchline corruption.
On any other show with any other, that looks like a great match, this could be a show stealer, but it's got Omega versus Vikingo on it, so I doubt it. This ceiling for this is awesome.
Yeah.
The ceiling for this is absolutely out of this world great, to be honest. Two very different styles, but they are both really intense. I think Moxley will really enjoy working Grayson. I don't know what this match looks like, but I know that it looks awesome, and I know that I can't wait to watch it. It's kind of typical Tony Khan. Oh, it's a new contract, but you're kind of here to do jobs. But that's fine. That's what some wrestlers need to do. There'll be afters, obviously. But I expect the quality. Moxley wins, like, without a doubt. The aim is to make you think that Grayson's going to win. And brilliantly, they planted that seed last week with that incredible breakthrough performance, which he lived up to the booking.
Yeah.
It was booked and laid out to make him look awesome. So they'll get you with this. And I think that Moxley will probably bleed.
I think the match and the afters will be freaking hot. So it's not going to really matter that you've got this like very different kind of spectacular match. I think this does open. Like, to sort of as a contrast to the Kenny match in the main event, I think this opens and then you have the big, it's going to be great. Grayson was excellent last week, but Moxley does win. The afters are obviously BCC, Dark Order plus Hangman Page, and they're cheating. Like, the Dark Order are useless, so the BCC regain numbers advantage just because they're useless. And then the Young Bucks make a version of a save for Hangman Page. They're the ones that are keenest to rebuild with Paige, more so than Kenny, which certainly speaks to like the idea of like what's going on with Kenny Omega after all this. So on the night where he's working his first singles match in forever, the Young Bucks have gone right back to hitching the wagon to Hangman Page.
Draw the parallel, yeah.
I like that. That's a way to build off last week's cliffhanger, because as cool as a cliffhanger in wrestling is, there's a bit of suspension of disbelief needed because, well, now mobile phones exist, but you know the wrestlers have to get out of the ring.
Yeah.
And Hangman Page does turn around and see them. So you have to make that make sense. But if you do it in the opening match, you don't need to know what the conversation was. You just need to see the Young Bucks coming out to make the save to show that last week was no fluke. It's like, we are with you if you want us. And they play with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Moxley and Page is not it. But the way these two stables are coming together is.
Is, yeah. One more thing. I don't know if it's guaranteed to happen because it's pretty hard to boo John Moxley. People love him. People know what he's done for this company. People know how great he is. But it's another, like, this is the old school AEW. I hate that those three things can be said in succession and it makes sense, but this is the old AEW just applying a lot of thought, bringing back a sentimental favorite in Canada, from Canada, to work against the guy that you're trying to turn heel is really clever.
Mm.
That guy really just reminding people how brilliant he is and entering this really acclaimed, like, rave reviewed performance, loads of people being happy for him, then working in a singles match, the heel they're trying to get over. It's just clever. Great opponent for Mox.
They double protected Grayson last week as well because they knew in the end segment it was all going to be about the Elite and the Dark Order have kind of got to be foil, if nothing else. And after Grayson's had this breakout performance, Excalibur said on commentary, oh, like, the numbers are as they are because Evil Uno's had to go to hospital and Stu Grayson insisted that he go with him. So they found a way to write him out of last week's, to further preserve that this guy is back and he's great and he's a hero. And
he got a great promo from hospital, basically, wasn't it, on Rampage?
He'd do anything for his friend and he wasn't going to be beaten down in the crowd. So he hasn't left Canada at the end of a beating, basically. Mm. So I thought it was like there's so much work put into like immediately making the Grayson rehiring worthwhile.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I may have got a bit carried away here, Sige, because all we've been promised tonight is we'll hear from Adam Cole, who, of course, is set to return to the ring next week. Is tonight, though, the night we maybe find out or at least get a further tease for his opponent?
He should do, because it's 7 days from tonight where he actually does wrestle. So I will expect this to be a fairly basic / generic. Really happy to wrestle. Don't know who my opponent is, but we'll find out later tonight. And then he gets interrupted by the person who it actually is. And there could be some kind of promo exchange or beatdown or whatever. Because I'm a nerd who likes to talk about this stuff too much. I already said this on the Rampage review, but if you missed it, I think it was a potentially cute detail how when they were last discussing this with Adam Cole, he said that doesn't know who it's going to be, which great technician am I going to wrestle? And that instantly makes you think of who's a really great technical wrestler in AEW, who's a heel, who is there to get beat. And you think of someone like Gabe, Tony Nese. But it's actually Lance Archer.
Yeah.
That Lance Archer match on Rampage, I maintain, either A, didn't happen for no reason, or B, was a complete waste of time because they had no other plans for him after the fact. I contend that they've put him in there to just remind you who he is, what he can do, particularly against pretty small men, they are at his mercy, and so could Adam Cole, and that would drive the drama. So maybe Jake Roberts can come out, ramble on for 5 minutes and ruin the length of Omega versus Vikingo.
Adam Cole coming back as a babyface, and we are, I think, because the reality show especially, we're to trust that as well. This is not one of them things where, thanks for cheering me and doing my catchphrase, but I was an arsehole when I left. It's the Seth Rollins thing. I'm still an arsehole now. Don't want any of that. In line with who else is turning babyface and the technician line, if that wasn't a red herring and it is, in fact, to tease someone, could it be Wheeler Yuta as the pure champion? And then Adam Cole is obviously a subsidiary member slash friend of the Bucks and Kenny Omega is offering himself as a bit of a fifth. Like, that's how he gets folded in more organically than just, they're my friends, you're fighting them. Like, he has this match with Wheeler Yuta. He beats him. It's a competitive loss for Yuta. But then, because the Blackpool Combat Club are arseholes now, they all come out and try and deck Cole after the fact. And, like, the Bucks make the save, for example. And then you've got those things overlapping.
Potentially, but Yuta's got a match with Shibata, so they might want
to... Oh, I can't really beat him, can they? Yeah, so close to that. That was why I was thinking Yuta over Cesaro, because I was like, well, they can't beat him when he's got a world title match. But
yeah, that's a thing. So, fascinated by how Cole factors into it. What's going on with Takeshita?
He's got his character's got to be watching, because his modus operandi was like to kind of replace Kenny Omega in AEW, wasn't it? They can't just drop.
Maybe
that.
It was. He's a face now. It's one of the realities. I hate how certain things obstruct this grand tapestry that they've been building over years. But if you're the nicest guy in wrestling, almost has to retire. His life becomes a living hell. He makes this miraculous heroic comeback. Kind of has to be the baby face, and you have to drop that one for a bit.
Maybe.
I'll say Miro just to make things interesting as the guy who comes out and attacks him.
He wants to do a job. He's welcome back anytime.
It's one of the, like, this is the thing, isn't it, about a surprise opponent, why Archer fits the profile so well, or someone like an Archer. It's got to be this quite big moment, and it's got to be a talking point tomorrow. We don't want to be sitting in this room tomorrow being like, and it's him. Oh. Like, you've got 7 days to not even anticipate something, but that person's got to lose. Mm. So you've got to, that's quite a difficult spot to occupy.
You want to come in here tomorrow and thinking, kind of hope Adam Cole sells a head injury in a really convincing and harrowing fashion for my entertainment. You've got to believe he's in trouble, I think.
Mm.
I think he should lose as well.
Ooh. More on that as we find out more about this then.
That's QT Marshall bringing out Hobbs, isn't it?
It's QT Marshall bringing out QT Marshall.
MJF reacts to last week's events. He's not mentioned anywhere here. Just nothing or...
By 30-second video promo that he was really unhappy about it. And, like, I'm MJF. I have my cake and eat it too. And at some point, I'll take down all three of you. Something like that.
A random match that got announced recently with a graphic drop that made everyone say... Bingo! Here's the next match we'll talk about, the party match. Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin and Sting. I did like the reminder of the history that Orange Cassidy and Sting have together.
Yeah.
The mutual respect. they're taking on the Butcher, the Blade and Kip Sabian.
He was pounding his chest there just in case, because that went in a couple of different directions, that sound.
I should be just an enormous amount of fun.
Yeah.
These guys are masters at putting this type of Sting match together. Cassidy firing up and doing a Stinger splash could be magic.
I'm trying to work out how you do a Stinger splash with your hands in your pockets.
Or you could just do like a weird bit of just rubbing up against someone like they do it. But this is, you know, it's going to be a very irreverent.
I just thought an Orange Cassidy coffin drop.
All action. Like, really entertaining thing. And Sting knows his role. He knows what he's there to do. He could do Cassidy things. The joy with Sting is he knows exactly when to do something for dramatic effect because he's an old master of doing this. And he'll do one ostensibly dangerous thing that, if it comes off, it's not dangerous at all. Like, landing on a group of people isn't dangerous. It just looks it. It's a work. He could do a Superman punch and not do a bump and get the biggest pop of the night. So maybe we'll see that.
I was just thinking of the sunglasses spot with, oh, was it Orange Cassidy and
Shibata?
Yeah, it was Shibata, I thought so. That and him and Sting, and maybe Darby Allin wearing him as well. There's your visual at the end of the show. Not at the end of the show, but the end of the match.
You know, just when people have a baby, a little baby boy or something, it's like, he's here and he's perfect. There's going to be a point in this match where I'm just like, it's here and it's perfect.
Yeah.
Like when Orange Cassidy came out in the Ghostbusters 2 alternative boiler suit look with Danhausen. Is he in Sting stuff or is Sting in denim? Because he wore CM Punk face paint.
Whoa, for that awesome I didn't think of that.
Like the look, how like Sting just throws himself into this stuff as he did with like when him and Punk and Darby were the super team and I was squealing at home how good they looked. This is going to be like another version of that. All the spots, all the mimicking. Orange Cassidy doing like a Sting big spot no sell. So like, say like the Butcher puts him through a table and somehow Orange Cassidy's developed Sting's powers for the night.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he does his like kip up, back up off it. And like, and again does the, and then does the chest like pound, but he still does it slow. But he somehow knows all the table spot or something. Like, I just do not think this can fail.
Yeah, it can't fail. It's going to be so much fun.
Can't wait.
Even when it fails, like when Sting, well, that Butcher, Blade, Private Party versus Sting, Darby and the Hardy Boys.
Yes.
So it was a 4-on-4 and it was really, really fun. Sting kind of botched the finish with a Scorpion Death Drop. It's still Sting. Who cares?
Top of the second hour?
I reckon this could go... I've really got to think this through. Whenever you ask me this question, it requires a lot of thought and I have to get into a certain zone. I have to go to that place.
Well, to take you to that place, let's talk about the...
Tulsa.
There was only one women's match.
Yeah.
Tony Storm versus Sky Blue, who's been going through the ringer a bit recently.
Is this a vehicle? I was thinking about this idly. When I was contemplating this or that. Is this a vehicle to get Sky Blue doing something as part of the originals?
Could be.
She could win.
Or she could just be someone who loses in 6 minutes and back to the moon.
She's really good, Sky Blue, getting her ass kicked, and Tony Storm's awesome at delivering ass kicking. So it's good matchmaking on that front. But they've
arsing.
Yeah. But they've set the teams up. Short of like two for the heels. Sky Blue was there with
Thunder Rosa, I reckon.
Thunder Rosa.
Because of the Baker history.
Aye. She was there with Rio and Willow Nightingale as like the three that were there and ready to help. And so I'd quite like Sky Blue to win, I think. But it's again poor old Tony Storm. You have to turn heel because this story needs you as a heel. You have to take L's because somebody on this team has
she
to.
She lost to Riho recently, didn't she?
Yeah, like
can't
she's
do it again, surely.
But this is what I mean. Like they'll look at Soraya and be like, "Not now," and they'll look at Ruby Soho and be like, "Can't with her because she's just turned." You invalidate everything if she loses straight away. So it's poor old Tony Storm yet again. So it's I'm not really thinking of the fiction more as I am the fact that she's been wedged into this story unfairly. But the match, I think, will be all right for the 4.5 minutes with the commercial. They'll be allotted. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
They'll have a nice finish.
Yeah.
I'll have a nice finish.
I think Tony Storm has to win just because I think the loss to Riho is all she can take in for the next few weeks in terms of losses. Plus, you can have that team win, and then Soraya can say, Sky Blue, your name rhymes with poo. So.
Sounds like her level, which is also your level.
Sky Blue, Spider-Man you poo.
Right, well, before we go any further... It's technically.
You have no conscience. You have no soul. Oh, so bad.
Instead, let's try it again.
It's time to play the game.
Well, you've got to ask me what the name of the game is, Wilbur.
Do you have no talent? Do you have a demean a bit?
We had 1 week off and I was like, oh yeah, demean a bit. And then I've forgotten everything.
I was meant to do the demean a bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she'd be all elite if she got released from WWE.
Yep.
Yeah. There we go. How does this start again? Just 1 second.
Before we get to the name of the game.
Okay, right.
No, don't. Just we'll do it live. F*** it.
Sige, shout out to the brilliant Jose Palomares at the Ho11 for stepping up in the interim. But Adam Blair is back in action, I do believe, anyway, at AdamWilton4 if you want to follow him on Twitter. Before we get to the name of the game, what's the aim of the game, Sige?
The aim of the game is to identify to the hour, minute, and second the first time you hear the first women's wrestler entrance theme because there's one match, it's obligatory, it's an afterthought, it's usually in the semi-main slot, And if we can get it to the hour, minute, and second, it will underscore, embolden, italicize just how rotten this practice is. And guess what? There's a rhyme. There is a rhyme in place that if you forget why they do this, you can remind yourself of their cynicism and laziness. When the women come out to play, the main event ain't too far away. So that's the aim of the game. And the name of the game is, well, it's a letter name. I'm thinking no one name.
Shooting Stars-esque, that, wasn't it?
It was. always the flourishing. That gets me, like, first syllable.
Well, I can't really go anywhere after that.
I know, it's peaking so high. Yeah. It's like,
So the latest results, because we had a week off, of course, last week, is I'm 0-8 so far. Sige, 3 correct answers. Michael Havlett, 5. I believe you got the last one. We'll start with you anyway.
Are you, like, or are you doing this thing at this point where you're starting to get players sent off because you're 6-0 down when you're playing FIFA?
Mate, mine used to do that at uni.
It's infuriating. Are you doing it? Are you going, like, you're picking
I'm genuine. Like,
you're going for the reverse sweep.
It's not working because they've actually cottoned onto the game.
Yeah.
8-0. Might as well lose 52-0.
My mate used to do that. And I never cared because I was like, I'm still winning.
Yeah.
But another one of my housemates made the fatal error of telling him that it affects, like, if he's 2-0 up and it's like 90th minute, James kicks off and goes up the other end and goes, 6-0, but it was, you know, 4-0 goal, so it's running proper. It's brilliant. It's the best thing to watch. They might wind each other up with that.
It's great as well when they were, like, chasing red cards and you would just pass the ball around and make the situation even worse.
Yeah. But Hamflet, I think we're all going to be about a minute apart here. I think we're all going to be in agreement as to where this match is going to drop.
This is like a peak death slot dynamite for the women, unfortunately. So I'll just go in tribute to the What Culture Wrestling podcast. We the ones. I'll go all the ones.
One.
How many ones are
Shall I get next, Sige, and then you can run us through the order of the show?
Yeah, I've got, I'm privy to that information.
I completely agree. I think it's going to go to the death slot. I think it's going to be relatively brief, and I think it's going to happen at one. I don't think they're going to give to, I should give them loads of time. But,
well, you want fat allocation for the main, don't
you? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So, 1:19:20.
20, right, I have to go to that place.
He's in that orgasmic trance.
The place is Norman, Oklahoma.
He's in that orgasmic trance. It's called GR's Twitter likes. Moments go ignite. Zoom my back guy in a flash of light. Boom. Boom. Dynamite. Where's the night? You know what that means? I believe we're in, is that right, X? Independence, Missouri. A lot of nice biscuits and gravy here. Yeah, I don't know. Biscuits and gravy. Oh, is that Festus? Yeah, he hopped around here about 2 years ago. Is that right, X? I hear the battle cry. Oh, one winged angel screams. It fills my hopes and dreams. I burst about my fear.
I'm going with Too Cool, Jim.
Correct. That's right.
I got it.
David put it in the office. I flew back over. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Is he sick? Is he mentally ill, Excalibur?
Kenny Omega versus Vikingo opens. I think that Kenny has a part to play later in the night with the schmoz after the fact.
And after which.
One hour. 1 hour, and
Hopefully not too many minutes. It is the latest after all. Better to look at than what to wrestle. 24 minutes. Keep it short and sweet, ladies. 21 seconds.
Before you go, Jim.
Yeah.
Quite a athletic build to a big gentleman in the Butcher. Any advice that you've taken on board about using someone like that?
Well, I see the Butcher. Sometimes I can get it confused with the Blade, but I shouldn't know who it is. It's written on his ass. Bill Watts once told me that you can make a lot of money with an athletic big man.
I wondered what you're talking about Festus before.
Yeah, I think that he just needs to add a little bit of sizzle to his steak. And I think that 20 years into the business, if you can just ascribe that cliche to his personality, then you can make a lot of money. And
there's an awful lot of fighting that dog in the gym, unlike the ones you are.
Oh, it's a dark old day for jail.
Thanks, Jim. I'm like, can Stokely Hathaway end Hook's undefeated streak tonight?
Oh, yeah, this. No.
Is it no DQ, this?
Whatever. Like,
yeah, it's no DQ.
Hook wins really, like, relatively easily as well, despite attempts from the firm to interfere that are hijacked by Matt Hardy. I thought the power slam joke was okay. Like that. Why would train him to do this?
I like the tickling.
Yeah.
The tickling was great. But like, what a lovely non-sequitur that was.
It's like Matt Hardy, Ethan Page tries to interfere properly. Matt Hardy botches on purpose, slash, stops in Ethan Page interfering.
He tapped really fast, didn't he?
Yeah, and then the firm are like, maybe this Matt Hardy juice just isn't worth the squeeze. And it's like, yeah, maybe everybody would have told you that like 6 f***ing months ago. Like, but it's
3 years ago.
Why have they been trying to get him on board? He's never shown interest. And Hook wins.
Can you remember when Ronda Rousey was so awesome?
Yeah,
God, that in was 2018, that they had to program her against Alexa Bliss, who was not a WrestleMania-sized opponent, when the idea was to keep her a face. But she was over ratings draw. And they realized this match doesn't work. It just doesn't, like, it's just no one's ever going to take it seriously. So they had this really bad sort of angle come match where Ronda Rousey just sat down and just said, do something to us. I think Hook does that in the middle of the ring.
Mm.
And then Stokely. They haven't built this, I don't think, for so long. I'd like to think that when you see this match graphic, you think that Tony Khan's just had a mad scientist moment and thinks we could have something magic here if we do it like this. I just don't think it exists to be a run-of-the-mill Hook squash. I think that there's going to be a lot of love and craft into this. I think it's genuinely going to be great. I don't know how it's going to be great because I'm not involved and I couldn't do it to save my life. But I just think this is going to be really good in a way that we can't quite foresee. I would kind of like it if Hook played against Type here and, like, laughed. Or, like, because it would mean something if Hook had a bit of a,
yeah,
like, I don't know, a laugh with this, a bit of fun, played against Type or whatever. I just think something's in the water for this to be a meme-able match. I think there'll be loads of memes going forward. That's the intention anyway.
Is it hiding a good angle somewhere? Like, is there a, you know, like, I don't know, Taz has to do something because Hook's, like, overwhelmed by the firm, or Hook wins, but then the firm attack him and leave, and it's like, yeah, we got our pound of flesh. Come on, Matt, let's go. And then they have to leave, and then, I don't know, like, QT sets Hobbs on him or something like that, and it's all Team Taz, right? Like, is there anything off the back of this that's good? Because the thing, like, I kind of be arsed with this story.
I can't.
Like, as an actual story, so I'd like it to end.
It's building up to the dream match of Ethan Page versus Matt Hardy.
Sorry.
Right. That's the thing.
Mm.
I've had people debate the merit of this storyline, how long it's gone, how good it is. If you just watch the vlogs, it's going to end up in Ethan Page versus Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And I feel that. You know, the multiverse theory, where there is a infinite amount of universes derived from our own. We might be a derivation ourselves living here, in which every sort of possibility exists.
Yeah.
You could be like, you have less square of a head. Or I could be tall and have a chin in another multiverse, okay?
Good save.
There is not a single multiverse or alternate universe in which Matt Hardy versus Ethan Page isn't boring. So that's
scientists have yet to find it.
That theory's out the window.
3,000 men in white coats in one of the big computers.
Yes?
Doctor, come quickly. There's like a receipt that prints out.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy and Ethan Page got 2.25 stars. We're getting there.
You know those adverts sometimes at the bottom of certain websites that say like, scientists are baffled by this.
Our website.
It's all you do is eat this nuts and you'll lose all this weight or whatever.
This is fruit that if you cut it in half, it looks like this translucent goo that makes it not look like a fat sack of shit. Just eat it after clicking.
You won't believe what the beast looks like after eating this pomegranate.
Yeah.
And you click it and it's just the beast from the chase. Oh.
Doctors couldn't save this one.
In time and weird.
What was the one that thread we got into? It's like, doctors thought, the vet thought this horse was in trouble when they checked his stomach. They had to call the police.
Criminal hiding inside it.
Yeah, and it's like, you won't believe what Julia Roberts looks like now. And it's like a character from The Walking Dead. And all that very similar stuff like that.
Such a shame what happened to this famous Hollywood actress. Did she get old and ugly? Did she? No, she didn't. Yeah. She didn't. She just aged and she, yeah, still worth one.
Right, let's know your thoughts anyway.
What's that got to do with the multiverse? And Matt Hardy?
Oh, because you made me think of it with the doctors baffled by, oh, the scientists baffled by this. And it's a 5-star match between Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. Check that again.
Yeah, no. Multiverse theory is wrong.
Right, let us know your thoughts.
The Mattyverse. Only there does he have good matches.
Hey, he was in TLC 2.
Yeah.
But like, that's the thing. I watched TLC 2 when I was 2001 minus 1985, 16.
Yeah, 16.
I was 16 years old. 37 now.
Yeah.
My enjoyment of that match, why does that have to carry forward?
Yeah.
For like, what's 37 minus 16?
21.
Why does that have to carry forward for 21 years?
Yeah.
I don't know, you've done a lot for this business and you should be grateful, you little asshole.
Yeah, Alan.
Why?
You love Alan Shearer, but if they went, guys, we're bringing back Alan Shearer up front.
I'd be absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, that's probably a bad example, actually.
But like, if they said they were bringing back
Tomori Katsubaya.
No, he's better than Matt Hardy. I'm trying to think of a Matt Hardy comparison. Now, Hosselu's the second leading scorer in La Liga.
Is he?
He got called up to the Spain squad.
What?
Stefan Givors.
Aye.
Obertan.
At least Obertan could bloody run.
Yeah.
If they were to bring back Jean-Alan Boomsong.
Yes, perfect.
No, he was never good.
Titus Bramble.
Matt Hardy versus Ethan Page isn't going to be a very good match. Mm. So why are they spending 6 months building to it?
Yeah.
Follow me at M. Sidgway.
Follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE and let us know your thoughts ahead of tonight's Dynamite. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Very serious NXT review from earlier on today available right now. And we'll be back to review this show tomorrow. So if you subscribe, this will drop into your feed as soon as it is released. But for now, this has been the AEW Dynamite preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.